Wow, come on, give it up for our church. That was my daughter and Dylan and everybody. Aren't you proud? Come on, Florida, make some noise today. We got over 30 people standing up, so you know. Unbelievable. You all recognize some of those people from our Mind series at the beginning when we promoted it. The guy was in the car. He's in our television department. And I just love seeing how they tie it all together just every single weekend. It's just incredible. How many of y'all have been enjoying this series? Raise your hand. And some good news today. Not some good news, today's the last day, but the good news is today's not the last day because next week is Mother's Day, and so make sure you don't forget that, and Nicole's going to actually preach on Mother's Day, and she's going to extend it on the mind, so it's absolutely going to be a lot of fun next week, and a lot of you look scared because you're like, oh my gosh, Mother's Day, I got to hurry up and buy some flowers, what do I do? Actually, the best thing you can do is get your wife or significant other or mom or whoever tickets to the women's conference because that's coming up, and it's going to be phenomenal. And they asked me to make this announcement. Actually, there's a big concert coming up here it's a Tom concert with Natalie Grant, Naomi, Tasha, Taya. It's iconic. Not that they need help selling tickets because it's be 2,400 seats probably sold out. But if you, I hate it because the church tells me all the times, you know, hey, you didn't tell me that there was a concert there. So now you've been told, if you miss it, it's your fault. Come on, somebody. And then I'm having fun. I know I got to get going, but I want to see it. Boise, come here real quick. Boise has been here for 30 days doing two shows a day at Wicked, starring in Wicked, sharing his faith in Jesus. Phenomenal. Two more shows today, sold out. But then he goes back, all from California. You might recognize him from Exxon commercials. And I think he was on One or Two Cops for stealing out of Walmart. But that's a whole other thing. So give it up for Boise. My buddy, go see that show today. All right, so we're going to get started. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, it's about time. Shut up. Get started. I came here. So first of all, there's a battle that's taking place in our mind. It's a consistent battle that happens sometimes even in the middle of the night. Everyone's sleeping in the middle of the night. You wake up, and then all of a sudden, all the tabs start opening in your brain. Raise your hand. Over half of you. Let's start over again. How many of y'all have got a brain? Come on, Florida. Ready for it? How many of y'all, your brain, you promise, I mean, you hate to brag about it, but it's just a little bit bigger than the person to the right and the left of you, okay? So your brain gets to moving and you get to worrying about things and you get upset about things and a lot of things you just can't control. In fact, all of a sudden, you know, you turn 18 and then you got to start making all these life choices. I mean, where do I go to school? Who do I marry? What city do I live in? Oh my gosh, I need a roommate. Now we got married and now I got kids. What do I do with the kids? The stuff's flying at me too fast. And then now my 401k turned to a 101 question mark and I'm absolutely losing my mind. I'm trying to grab all these balls as fast as I can, but then COVID hit and I lost all my money and now I had to wear a mask. And then are we vaxxed or not vaxxed? And I'm just out of my mind. And then you go to church and you start learning to drop those things that are trying to drive you crazy. By the way, I hardly caught any of those because Landon, stand up Landon, turn around. This is Landon Edmonds. You might know his dad, Mr. Edmonds from the Cardinals. And they've been too much with this guy. That's too fast. Back at you. Look, you suck to catch. Come on, somebody. Back at you. All right. Everybody shout amen to that. So here's what we got to do with these burdens. Psalm 55, verse 22. It says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you, and he will never permit you to be moved. So God didn't wake up, you know, when you started making some dumb decisions and say, man, this is my dumb kid. Can't believe that. How many of y'all, you've done some dumb things? Raise your hand, right? So we've done dumb things, but it doesn't mean that we're dumb. We've just made some choices, and those choices that we've made have affected our mind, our will, and emotions. So if there's anything that I really want you to learn is to start picking up all the burdens that don't belong to you and start casting them on the Lord. The Bible said, 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. So in other words, the burden that you currently are carrying, you were never called to carry that burden. That's why now we have mental disorders and our mind gets out of order because our mind, our will, and emotions are affected by the thoughts that we think. Now this is your brain kind of blown up. In fact, my good friend is a neurosurgeon and he actually said this is actually pretty true to scale, which is pretty phenomenal because it was made by a woman from Jefferson County with foam insulation. Come on, it's just impressive. But this mind that you have has what they call neuroplasticity. Neurological plasticity, just like plastic, it's formidable. And so a lot of the thoughts that you thought yesterday are the same thoughts you're going to think today. In fact, 90% of the thoughts that you think tomorrow are the same thoughts that you think today. That's why we continue, like Groundhog Day, to have the same life, the same problems, the same disorders, because we didn't change the way we think. But when we change what we think, and we start allowing the neurons to fire together, and they fire together, and they wire together, and we start casting down the bad imaginations and say, hey, my heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord, and I'm not what I did, I'm what I'm doing now, and what am I doing? I'm taking charge of my life. Got a question for you here, Florida, everywhere. Have you ever been in a mood, and you know, you're kind of funky, and you just feel quite right, and how many of you have done that? Raise your hand. How many of you are there right now? No, don't raise your hand. And then you cleaned maybe your closet, you cleaned your bathroom, or you cleaned your car, and all of a sudden you started going, I'm feeling pretty good about my life. Raise your hand if you've had this. Because any step towards order, taking charge of disorder, triggers oxytocin in your brain and dopamine in your brain, and your brain goes, we like this because now you're in charge. And because you feel in charge, your mind starts dumping loads of happy chemicals in your brain. Now, you know, I've often talked about the smart part of your brain and the dumb part of your brain, and you've got a smart part and a dumb part. Some of us use the dumb part more than we use the smart part, but we do have it. And I remember one time I was driving down the road. I had a problem where we were living. Nicole and I, by the way, if you don't know, Nicole was number one top salesperson in America for telecom. So when I met her back in the day, 25 years ago, they flew her around in planes, and she didn't tell me how much money she made till after we were married for a month, and then she told me, I make $100,000 a month, and I said, I've never loved a woman like this in my entire life, and whatever's yours is mine, and whatever's mine is mine. But I was successful too, you know, sold properties and different things, so we were doing good. So we had our dream house, but then sometimes if you're in a neighborhood association, you got one or two people who have nothing to do except to drive you crazy. And sometimes at that point in my life, it wasn't a very far drive. And they were doing all kinds of stupid stuff, and I got so mad, and I heard the Lord tell me in my spirit, and you might be wondering, well, I wish God spoke to me, and I want to pause and say, he does. It's a still small voice that says, don't go down that road. Don't call that person. Stop DMing them. Stop abusing the alcohol. Whatever it is, it's a still small voice, and it doesn't sound like, you know, like you're looking for this Morgan Freeman. Hey, this is God. Don't do that again, right? That's not Morgan Freeman. That's more like the guy that his daughter runs off and he finds her. What's that guy's name in the movies? He's always going.
Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson. Come on. I think there's a place for me in Hollywood somewhere. Okay. So the voice, though, is a still small voice that speaks to you. The Bible said, my sheep, which is you guys, it's us, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they'll not follow. So I heard the Lord speak to me to leave the beautiful property that we had, the barn and the gates and everything, and to go to this like Bobo house that we had in Fenton, Missouri, that was beat up with mold. It was a nasty place. He said, you go there until you can act right. So while I'm driving there down Highway 44, I started praying. Really, I wasn't praying at all. I was griping. Anybody ever gripe to God? And I said, God, you said that no weapon formed against me will prosper, and it sure does look like it's prospering. And I'm going, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes his enemies be at peace with them. I'm not a pastor, but I know the Bible. I was been raised by a pastor. My dad would whip me and quote the Bible to me at the same time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The rod of correction will drive foolishness far from the heart of a child. I can tell you didn't get whipped. Anybody in here got a spanking? Raise your hand. I can tell why you're jacked up. You need a spanking. So, I'm driving down the road, and the Lord speaks to me, and he basically tells me now what I know, engage the dumb part of your brain. He said, if you're going to gripe at me and you're going to pray, I want you to pray while you're smiling. So I thought, I can do that. So now I'm going down the road quoting those scriptures. No weapon formed against me will prosper, and every tongue that rises up against me in judgment will be turned off and turned to the wrong. It sure does look confusing to me right now that you said the faithful man shall abound in blessing. Doesn't look like I'm abounding in blessing right now. You said that you would rebuke the devourer for my sake, and I'm a tither and a giver. In fact, probably some of the biggest tithers at our church got, and then all of a sudden the dumb part of my brain got confused, and I just started laughing. Nothing changed, but something changed in the chemical factory of my brain just by my body language. I'm feeling good right now. What's this look like? How many of y'all I could say, how you doing, PD? I feel great. I'm fine. How many of y'all are not buying what I'm selling? Raise your hand. Come on, I need participation from you. I'll have him turn around and throw balls at you. Come on, somebody, help me right now. So we're like, I feel sad when you're sad. I feel glad when you're glad. So our feelings, our mind, our will, and emotion can be tricked. Now, I know this has never been done in church before, but I built this church with stuff that's never been done in church before. I got a comedian that I think is pretty funny, and I think that he can explain it better than me, and Joel wouldn't do this, and the Baptist wouldn't do this, but we're going there. Watch this TikTok. Check this out.
You have left brain and you have right brain, and one part of your brain is super smart, and the other part is dumb as rocks. And I think that's true. Anything I say up here does not come from a building of education. This is all stuff I've overheard at Target or Lowe's. So one part of your brain is smart, and the other part is dumb. You can trick your own brain. That's how dumb the dumb part is. It's in the same head. That's embarrassing. It's like, you don't hear this going on, dude. If you're in a bad mood, they tell you to fake smile, and your dumb part will think it's a good day. I mean, you don't hear the planning going on? Like, you're a part of the planning. That would be like if you were a conjoined twin and you got thrown a surprise birthday party by the other twin. I get stuck with my dumb part all the time. I do have a smart part, but it just barely works. It helps me tie my shoe in the morning. Then he's like, I gotta get out of here. Y'all gonna be all right?
Come on, give it up for that. You understand what I'm talking about now? Come on, if you like it, clap. I mean, I need, because my big bosses at church are gonna say, don't play that. But how many of y'all that bless your soul, raise your hand, all right? So you have the power. I want to put this slide up, and you can take a picture of this. You have the power over your mind. You don't have power of outside events, and when you realize this, it gives you strength. So I have no power over the person in the subdivision. I have no personal power over the person at the water cooler. I have no power over the political deal, the financial deal, the COVID deal. But what I do have power over is my mind. And I choose to look at this scenario and this situation from a positive point, knowing God works all things together for my good. See what I'm saying right now? All right. Y'all have as much fun as I'm having. By the way, that 9 o'clock at Sunset Hills is my favorite. I got to go to Earth City and preach, and I come back and preach, and I go to Earth City and preach. But I just want to tell you that I like you the best, and here's the reason why. It's because early in the morning, all you white people, you went and got coffee, and then you went and you ate breakfast, then you ate a snack, and then you had some tea, and you had 3 Red Bulls. You're like, hey, bring it to me. It's 9:45. You guys are just buck wild. Okay. It's just so weird. Number 13. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan. I'm about to give the Israelites this land. So so at the Lord's command, Moses sent them over. Now, if you know the story, you know a little bit about this. God sends out 12 spies in Numbers 13 to go look and check out the land. 10 of the 12 guys had a negative mindset, and they went in there for 40 days. Everybody shout 40 days. And for 40 days and 40 nights, they went to explore the land and see what was going on. And 10 of these cats came back and said, it's too big. We were like grasshoppers in their sight. Nobody said that to them. They just had neurological visions of themselves. And in their subconscious mind, they didn't think they were good enough. Now, the subconscious mind, I want to show the slide of last week. We talked about it. I was in Florida, and I showed you this. Hopefully, you saw that. You have this conscious mind. Then you have, like, the submarine we drew, because we're said underneath the surface of the water, you got the subconscious mind. And the subconscious mind has what we call a self-fulfilling prophecy inside it. Depending on how you were raised, how were you abused, the way you thought. Everybody in my family was big bone to retain water. We all have pancreatic problems. We have colon problems. These are true. They're factual. But technically, they're not true, because when you get saved and born again, your brain gets renewed. And now you say, my family tree fought 2,000 years ago, and with long life, he'll satisfy me and show me his salvation. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their transgressions. Isaiah 53:5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes, we are healed. Not gonna be. Jesus got it for us. Now your brain, the dumb part and the smart part, start believing that instead of the neurological associations that fire together. We're just trailer trash. We're not capable. We're not educated enough. No, your brain is an incredible chemical factory, and God made all of these incredible brains that are sitting listening to me today here and in Florida. It just depends on what you do and how you associate the scenarios based on your past or based on, I know the plans he has for me. They're for good and not for evil. My grandson, he's two this week in Florida. Nicole hadn't saw him like in 4 or 5 days. I've been hanging out with him at their house. And I told him, I said, hey, I got a surprise for you. And he can barely talk. He said, I got a prize. So I said, go to the truck. It's in the truck. So he goes to the truck. And when he gets out to the truck, it's his grandmother. And he looks at his grandmother and goes, I got a prize. And I realized, man, I screwed up. And then she goes, I'm the prize. And he goes, aww, and hugged her. This made her a video that I'm certain you're going to see next week in our sermon, because she's going to have to tie it in somewhere that her grandson said, aww. I don't have it now. I'm not stealing her thunder. I'm just here to tell you that that little joker has a strong neurological association that if my grandpa says that there is a prize, he gets excited and starts heading to the truck. I bet it's a goat, a mini bike, something. What is it? What is it? It's your grandma. Oh, I don't know much about political correctness, but I'm going to give it a, aw. Where did he even get the, aw? Because everybody does that with him. Hug me, aw, kiss me, aw. See, some of you were raised in a negative home. Come here, Landon, come here real quick. Landon is about to hug me and he doesn't know it, okay? Some people hug, he's hugging me himself. So Landon, some people hug like this, they're like, maybe I'm the dad and I'm old enough to be his dad, I'm friends with his dad. I think your dad's a little, got bigger arms than me, but then not a brain. So your dad loves, he loves him. He'll text me, hey, Landon, man, Landon's doing this. Landon's coming to church today. Landon, blah, 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 right? So his dad is like this, that a boy. Good job. Come on. But some dads are like, good luck with life. You know, I love you, Dad. I like you too. You know, or hug him. Yeah, good to see you. And then there's other people that are always telling you, you know what? Dude, you're the kid I always wanted to be. You're going to be a champion. Something on the inside of you, you're a champ, man. And so some of you didn't get that, and you need to get that in your head that God's going to do that for you. Come on, somebody. And so you need to go around telling everybody, atta boy, atta girl. Come on, give it up one more time for Landon. So these 10 spies have a neurological association that they can't make it. But two of them came back and said, hey, we are not going to allow what we saw to keep us back. So these 10 people poison 2 million people and they die in the wilderness with Moses, who was promised the promised land. Raise your hand if you know this story a bit, okay? Why did Moses not get to go? I've thought about it a lot. First of all, we know that the reason the Bible said he didn't get to go is because when he was helping the children of Israel, God said, strike the rock and water will come out of it. And it did. Then as time progressed and they needed water again, the Lord said, hey, this time don't strike the rock with the flesh. Speak to the rock, which was an advancement for Moses to go to another level, and we can learn from that as well. In the past, you were striking stuff, you were cussing at it, you were mad about it, but now you're just speaking to it and say, I know that God's on the scene, he's gonna work this out. I'm not gonna go down there and bust the cap of that person to go to prison. I am going to take God, forgive him. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. But I think Moses, I was thinking about it even this morning, I think Moses had a self-fulfilling prophecy, maybe because when he was a baby, Jochebed, his mom, put him in the river because she had to. And now he's rescued from the river by Pharaoh's daughter, but he's adopted and he never really gets to really embrace his mom as publicly, that's my mom. He was raised in a great spot. And God protected him when all the other kids were being killed. But at the same time, there are some neurons that fired together in Moses' life that actually created some anger issues, that actually created some issues to keep him from the promised land. And I want to go to this camera right now and talk to you in Florida and everywhere. I don't know what is keeping you back. I don't know what is holding you back. Somebody's got you tethered. Maybe it was something that somebody did to you, or somebody said something to you, or a text you saw. Who knows what it was? But I know one thing, that God can erase that past if you keep charging towards your promised land and say, come hell or high water, I'm going to lose the weight. I'm going to be in control of my life. I'm going to be happy again. Somebody ought to shout amen to this, because God has installed in my brain neurological patterns that change your life forever. The beautiful family, you just stood up, the husband and wife, you. Come here, just real quick. I'll just grab them out of the crowd. They don't mind me telling the story, because they tell it publicly. They've given their life to ministry and helping people and so on. But the quick scenario, and the please, you know, understand, they talked about this publicly. I'm not revealing anything they don't share. But she was so abused as a child and went through so much as a child and misused, that she went down a path where she actually was bound and actually sold her body to men. And God had been using him for years, saying, God's going to send me to the right person, and God's going to change my life, and I'm going to be the husband that I need to be. And he's got problems like I do. She's got problems like I do. But at the end of the day, now God healed them, brought them a beautiful family, and now they're telling the story to everybody. So don't tell me that you've been through hell and you can't get out. Don't tell me that God can't make a way of escape. These are just people that I'm picking out of the crowd right now. Somebody ought to give God praise today. She is a woman of God and a Proverbs 31 woman, and her brain now has been reprogrammed that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, and I'm going to rescue girls in sex trafficking, which she does, and I'm going to help girls out of abortions, and they're going to actually save their babies, thrive. That's what she does. One more time, give it up for these beautiful people. Thank you. That wasn't planned. I just felt like you should know that. I'm proud of them, proud of their family. Now check this out. In Joshua chapter 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, notice sometimes there's a death in a situation. Something changes. Somebody dies in your family. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, he said, tell all these people to get ready to cross over to the Jordan, to the land I'm about to give you. And I will give you every place in which your foot shall trod. That's what he promised. I promised this to Moses, but I'm going to execute it in you. Verse 5. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life, for as I was with Moses, I will be with you. And I love this. He said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Then he says, verse 6, be strong and very courageous. Notice, if God says be strong and very courageous, he must be knowing that there's some areas that you need to be strong in. Then he says it again in verse 7. Hey, by the way, listen to me. Be strong and very courageous, and be careful to obey God. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Then he says, make sure you keep the book of the law on your lips and meditate on that day and night. And be careful to obey everything that was written. So God is telling Joshua, here's how you control your mind. First of all, Joshua, the reason why you got to go to the promised land and Moses didn't is because of the way you think about the situation, because of the way you saw it. If you can see it, you can be it. But if you think you're a fool, you'll be a fool. If you think you're a loser, you'll be a loser. But if you think you're a winner because God doesn't make any junk, you activate the smart part of your brain. Somebody ought to shout amen, who tells the dumb part of your brain, act like things are right when things aren't right, and put a smile on your face and say, God works all things together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. And everything my hand touches turns to good. I've casted all my cares upon him, for he cares for me. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He receiveth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul and leadeth me in the path of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm going to have a pimp walk when I do it. I will fear no evil. Why? The Lord is with me. He is for me. Somebody ought to give him praise. I give you 10 seconds to praise him. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. One more slide. Get ready for your phone if you want it. Fear is your situation. Faith is the solution. Fear is the situation. Actually, I heard the Holy Spirit say, don't say fear is your situation. Say fear is the situation. It ain't yours. Don't claim it as yours. If your dog bites somebody, be like, that dog looks a lot like my dog, but that ain't my dog. I ain't claiming that dog. Your husband act a fool at Walmart, be like, that ain't my husband. I know I walked in here with him, but he's stalking me. Get me out of here. If I do this, it means somebody's trying to take me away. So fear is the situation. Faith is your solution. How are you going to get out of this? By faith. How are you going to get out of this? You're going to think your way out of it through the orchestration of the wisdom of God welling up big on the inside of you. Dr. Caroline Leaf, I would recommend her book called Switch on Your Brain. I've read it several times on audio. Here's a line, a paragraph I want to read. She says, as we think, we change the physical nature of our brain. As we consistently and consciously direct our thinking, we can wire out toxic patterns of thinking and replace them, it's like you're a brain surgeon, with healthy thoughts. When you think, you build thoughts, and these become physical substances in your brain. So your brain, there's a part of it up here called the amygdala. And that part of your brain is pre-programmed to survive, the fight or flight. And when engaged, all of a sudden now there's adrenaline that hits it, and it says, be on guard, be on guard, be on guard, there's trouble. And then that sends a lot of adrenaline into your system. Now, as you might imagine, 30 seconds before I got up here, they were like 10 seconds, 5 seconds, 4 seconds, and I come up, and I've got to get off to a good start, right? And I'm like, hey, everybody, wasn't that great? And then I got to make announcements, and then it's time to cue those balls, and then they're trying to throw the balls, and I'm talking, and my brain's going. There's a lot of adrenaline. Then I'm going to leave. They're going to throw me in a car, and I'm going to go do it again. They're going to throw me in a car, and I'm going to do it again. They're going to throw me in a car, and I'm going to do it again. They're going to throw me in a car, and I'm going to do it again. And there's going to be cops to kind of maybe even pull us over, and they'll see my mic and go, oh, sorry, Pastor David, you're on the Lord's work. And I'm like, thank God, you're not going to go to hell today, and we're going to keep on going. But when I'm doing what I'm doing, there's adrenaline, right? So then maybe tonight, before I go to bed, I'll go to bed, my legs will start shaking, and I'll kind of be jacked up, and I'm like, what in the world's going on? There's nothing wrong with me. What I've done is I have hammered it. So I got to calm down. Calm down. Let's all practice that. Say, calm down. You said it so calm. It's like I'm in a spa. Calm down. So you got to calm yourself down. The reason I say that is a lot of you have run your brain with a lot of negative thoughts for so long, and what am I going to do, and how am I going to do it? And what you've done is the neuroplasticity, you've made ruts and grooves in your brain, and it automatically goes there again. As soon as somebody says something, it triggers. You're like, ain't no man doing that to me again. My third husband said that to me right before he died. Right? Because something triggers you. And then all of a sudden your life's going great. Everything's going great. And out of the clear blue, you're like, God, thank God that's over. Thank you, Jesus, that right now. Oh, God, what in the world is happening? Out of nowhere, COVID hits. You find out that he's talking to her. You find out that your daughter's been sneaking out. You find out, whatever you find out, all of a sudden out of nowhere, these tennis balls come and they just hit you all of a sudden. And now there's no logical explanation. Logic is not kicking in. All you have to do right now is say, wait a minute, I'm going to absolutely take control of this negative situation. Even though it looks bad, I'm going to stay calm. Even though it looks freaky, I'm going to stay calm. Stay calm. Be calm. An undisturbed thought pattern helps a lot. You have a phone, raise your hand if you got an iPhone. We all got anybody got an Android? You're not embarrassed, raise your hand. Okay, a few of you. Okay, good. So you got the thing. And then I don't know if Android has it, but iPhone, it has a thing that says do not disturb. It's got airplane mode. And if you don't have it on airplane mode, do not disturb, all of a sudden now, you'll get a text, you're reading your Bible, oh Lord, I thank you, Lord, and it texts you like, that dirty rascal, I tell you right now. And it's, many times what happens is, and I've noticed this, is people are struggling to concentrate. And the reason why is because we have formed mental patterns that say, entertain me in 15 seconds or less. Give me the information quick. And I believe in the fastest point to enlightenment, but I also believe if we're not careful, we don't have any real time to actually think. Now, when I was a kid, we didn't have a phone, an iPhone. We didn't have a car phone. Remember these days? If you're old, you know what I'm talking about. There was no beeper even. You just had a phone with the cord. And then eventually they introduced the beeper, and the beeper was just numbers. And the only way that you knew that you needed to actually pull over to a pay phone was if your family member said 911. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And then you guys had arguments. Why'd you put 911 when it's about milk? I had a heart attack, and I thought that grandma died, and all you wanted was milk right now? You got to be kidding me. I almost killed two cows when I ran through the pasture trying to find a stinking phone. Raise your hand. Young people don't know anything about this. This was a serious thing. But we had time to think. So now we don't think because we're always getting 24-hour news cycles. And even the news cycle, through artificial intelligence, it is figuring out your preferred thought process. You're a political persuasion and the way you think. So then you get to thinking that everybody's thinking what you're thinking and come to find out that artificial intelligence got you thinking what you thought everybody else was thinking, but not many other people were thinking what you were thinking. If you know what I'm talking about, raise your hand. But then when you go to church, we take all that away. I'm not here to talk about Republicans or Democrats or the White House or the crack house. I'm here to talk today about Jesus and his word, which is the infallible word of God, which will renew your mind and set you free. And that's why we need to go to church every Sunday. Somebody ought to shout amen, whether we feel like it or not, because your kids will get confused between here and here if you don't wash their brain with the word of God. Because there's a system out there that is trying to control the minds of people instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to control our lives. Last little video I want to share because it says everything. That would take me 10 minutes to say this on basically trauma bonding. Check this out.
One of the things that releases oxytocin, which is that feeling of love and connection and trust, is shared struggle. Shared struggle releases oxytocin, which is why when families go through tragedy, they get closer. When societies go through hurricanes, you know, politics get put aside and we support each other, right? And it's the same in a relationship, which is if you allow someone to sit and struggle with you, it actually deepens the relationship.
So how does that work for us? Us, we're a community of believers. Number one, you have something in common. You go to the greatest church in the world. Raise your hand if you agree with that. Number two, you got something in common. You got a preacher that's really kind of crazy, but it works for you because you're kind of crazy. Raise your hand if you don't have time. So you're like, I get that guy, okay? So we got that. We got it going on. So small groups are so important. So you're saying, hey, I like this big church. I come in and go out. They don't know if I go to this service. I could divorce my wife, still go to the same church. I just go to a different service, a different location. By the way, we have that happen. It's a big church. But we need to make a big church small. So we can actually get you in a group, because if we can change the way you think, we can change the way you live. But we didn't get our mind in these deep ruts overnight. This goes all the way back to when you were a kid. And your dad said that, and your mom said that. And we're not going to cry about it and be like, oh, we need to go to Springer or Dr. Phil, or we need to have Oprah solve our problems. We can't go back and my dad put my Pampers on too tight, things were tight. No, listen, it's not about what happened to you. What happened to you, I feel bad for you. But what is happening in you right now, you have the power to change that. When all the balls are dropping, you go, I'm going to pick those balls up and I'm going to throw them over in the court of God, and I'm going to start thinking the way I want to think, because God didn't make any joke. You're not junk. Before I go, I just have to tell you this. God's got some big plans for you. And for years, you fought it. For years, you fought going to church. And I look at Corvette Chuck over there. Come here, real quick. Corvette Chuck, just come up around Chase real quick. He actually looks like Magna P.I. in his better days. Corvette Chuck was a man that was on his way to hell, bound by alcoholism. His wife prayed forever for him to go to church. A lady that helps me kind of run my life, my work wife, Karen. Karen calls up because I got this old junk Corvette that needs to be fixed. She, I guess, knew him somewhere, that he knew a lot about Corvettes. So that's why I call him Corvette Chuck, because he came and fixed my Corvette. Then while he's fixing my Corvette, smoking a cigarette, drinking, doing his stuff, you know, hell, I might go to church sometime. I like this guy. And he comes and he sits back there. And then all of a sudden, all the stuff starts falling off of him. About how long ago?
Over 2 years ago.
And now he's got tears running down his eyes because God saved him, and he's not who he used to be, and he's a new increase in Christ Jesus. Is he perfect? No. Is he forgiving? Yes. Corvette truck's going to heaven in a Chevy. Somebody ought to shout amen. And if God did it for him, he'll do it for you. But somehow, in Corvette Chuck's brain, at some point here, I don't know if it was his dad, his mom, the neighborhood he grew up in, but some reason there was a lot of pain in his brain that made him think, I've got to bury that and numb that pain. But then he came here and he got around you. And then today, we're all going to hug him. And now you're like, hey, what's up, Chuck? Come on, Chuck. What's up, Chuck? Chuck feels welcome here, and I want everybody listening to me by television. If you're hellbound sinner in a bad situation, you know what you need to do? Get off the couch today, get to Faith Church, and we'll love the hell out of you until you get to where God called you to be. Somebody ought to shout amen right now. Stand up with me. I want to pray for you. Father, I pray right now for every man, woman, and boy and girl who God's going through a hard time, and they feel like maybe they're watching this in the middle of the night in Palm Beach County or St. Louis County, up in Port St. Lucie, in Juneau, Jupiter, East St. Louis. And God, you're speaking to them and telling them to go to church. God, allow them to know that the roof won't fall in. And nobody is out past God's forgiveness and his love and his grace. And Father, I pray right now that you would touch everybody in these buildings, but even more than that, you would go through that television screen and touch people's lives. And allow them to know that this is the weekend they need to get up and they need to go to the house of God. And the rest of their life will be the best of their life. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen and amen. You can be seated as you watch Jack's story.